which is, you know, try to maybe think about doing a traditional Father's Day lesson. But I thought to myself, Jesus said, call no one on your earth your father, but your father who is in heaven. So I thought we would look at passages this morning of the things our Father in heaven has given us freely. Of all the things that me as a father would like to give to my children, the greatest things I can give them is the same thing that God the Father has given us. Love, grace, mercy, peace, all things that pertain to life and godliness, bringing to them Christ. Most of the time when something's freely given to you, you always think there's strings attached. You know, there is strings attached to most stuff. Now, if you're a good Samaritan, no strings attached. But if a politician's giving you something, there's going to be some strings attached. If the boss typically is giving you a little something, there's typically some strings attached. Hopefully in our lives, certainly as Christians, when a husband and wife give things to each other, there's not strings attached. We need to recognize and examine ourselves to make sure that we are freely giving just like we have been freely given. Let's look at the passages this morning from God's holy word pertaining to things that have been freely given to us. Things that are given to us and told that by God's holy word. Obviously, we've been given the Spirit of God, freely given to us. I don't know about you, but there's a spirit that's in the world that wants to creep in, wants to take control of my life, my thoughts, my heart at certain times. Wants me to be somebody I don't want to be. Maybe even justified. But I need to follow Christ. We need to follow Christ. Different things make different people angry. And it is written, be angry and sin not. Right there is that. Yes, I'm mad about something. Yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to sin. But to have the Spirit of God rather than the spirit of the world, what a great gift that is freely given to us. In Galatians chapter 3, it is written, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been given by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was a tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, obviously I have highlighted that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. That promise in our faith, and it is freely given to all people. All people. I don't know about you, but I still struggle with being as perfect as Christ is, given all? Do we pick and choose whose love and whose what forgiveness we want to give to each other? When we want to be patient and kind, when we want to not be patient, when we want to be impatient, we want to be not so loving, maybe we want a vengeance. And God says, vengeance is mine. Turn it over to me. I'll take care of it. I love you. I'll take care of it. But God, I want to take care of it myself. God wants us to turn those things over to Him. Let Him take care of us. How many times on earth I haven't, you know, my dad will take care of that. My dad's watching out for me. That's the same thing with our Father in heaven. He has given us those things. Not only that, you look at the remaining passage with all the craziness going on in our world about equality and people treating each other with respect and love and kindness. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And people that want to hate for any reason, brothers and sisters and friends, I'm telling you, you read God's word, it should not be so. And people that proclaim to follow Jesus and profess hate and division, is it contrary to God's word? Contrary to God's word. Examine ourselves and make sure that we don't have that type of heart. It's tough, folks. Imagine Jesus hanging on that cross, forgiving all those people that treated him so terribly. Make sure that you are strong in his might. Strong in the things that have been freely given to you. Ephesians chapter 4, it is written, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace was given. Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Second Thessalonians, it is written, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. Brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. You know, until I found Jesus and turned my life over to him and God, I grew up in a church. My mom and dad, my dad taking, mom taking me, and my parents got divorced when I was 12, 13 years old, something like that, and they quit going to church. Until I came back to God and recognized, I saw the ways of the world. I saw people sit in a courtroom and lie. I sat there and watched what went on. I saw this guy lie and this guy. And these are people I thought, these are good people. And I thought, how in the world could a judge sit there and listen to this person lie and that person lie? I'm not pointing this way, but that was my first realization that, man, oh man, this something ain't right in this world. You know? Everything isn't peaches and cream. For those of you who like peaches and cream. A lot of people don't, you know, I don't even buy cream much anymore, except for the special stuff you put in the coffee. Tastes good though. But I say that in my life, that was a turning point in my life. And I started searching, you know. Became a Christian when I was 26 years old, 25, 26. When I got married at 26, I became a Christian when I was 25. See, you know. But the only hope, everlasting consolation and hope of grace, and the only truth that I found was in God and His promises. I was disappointed in what I saw in the world. I was disappointed in how people treated one another. I was disappointed in the justice in our society. And that was 30 some years ago, almost 40 years ago. Same thing happens today, and I plead with us to recognize that there is true justice. God has loved us, given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. He has given us, we'll look at a passage here in a minute. He just gives us all kinds of stuff, folks. You ever stopped and thought, I know we think about how good God is and how great He is, but we itemize the things in His Word, and these are just a handful of them. There's multiple more. 2 Timothy is written, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers day and night, night and day. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I ask us, do you feel that you have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind today? And if not so, open that heart up to God and let Him work His work on you. Second Peter, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Grace and peace be multiplied to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. You take away grace and peace. You take away the knowledge of God. You take away Jesus being your Lord and Savior. Guess what? You don't appreciate all things that pertain to life and godliness that's been given to us. You remove glory and virtue from your life. You forget about those great, exceedingly great and precious promises. You turn into a human nature instead of divine nature. Satan tempts us all with this, brothers and sisters and friends. It just does. He does. But to recognize the corruption that is in the world through the eyes of faith and be able to offer forgiveness and grace and mercy and rely on God the Father and the things he's promised us. These scriptures kind of speak for themselves of things that have been given us. That's why I didn't include them with a whole bunch of passages. They're PowerPoints, so to speak. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. James 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus mentioned these things that have been given. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Speaking about parables and being able to understand the mysteries of God and have his Spirit in you, guiding and directing you. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Luke 22, Jesus said, and he took bread, and he gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. John 13, Jesus said, for I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Believe it or not, that's 10, 11 slides this morning, typical. I thought the scriptures we've looked at have really spoken for themselves this morning. Hopefully they've reached and touched your heart. Things that have been freely given to us by our Father. Every day should be Father's Day when it comes to God. His glory and praise and the things that we do for him and do to him and homage. I don't want to take anything away from our Father's Day here on earth, but it's a small comparison to the Father we have in heaven and what he's done for us and what he does for us and what he will do for us. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Things that have been freely given to us by the things we've looked at in God's Word this morning, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. To each one of us, grace was given. Who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. Has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Ask of God for wisdom and will be given. He's given us eternal life. He's given us an understanding. And Jesus reiterated these things and said, ask and it will be given to you. Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Give, and it will be given to you. This is my body, which is given for you. And I have given you an example. Giving you an example, he said that right after he washed the disciples' feet. Some of the hardest things that happen in our lives to understand, to be obedient to follow Jesus is we got to remember that he has given us an example. To forgive, grace and mercy, be angry and sin not, love our neighbors, ourselves. I mention those things because those are things I have to pray about and I've been struggling with this week myself. I'm so thankful for God's holy word and the power in it to guide and direct us and the things that have been given to us to live righteous, to please God, and have the confidence we are his children. If you are not a child of God this morning, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus, if you haven't had your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, something on your heart you need help with, we love you, care about you, and we're offering help in any way we can. If you have a need for an invitation, we implore you to do that as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.